I got a new chair and it slides too much.
Oh, God. So you don't have the ability to kind of move in and out.
No, that's why when I sat down, I was like, crisscross. Oh. I don't have an intro, but I have a.
But I do got a gun.
I got a gun on me.
I don't know. I can't think of one today.
Not a real gun. Not a real gun.
Yeah, we got to just make sure we make a distinction for YouTube. You know what I'm saying? We can't get demonetized. Yeah. Well, not like we're making money anyways. Heyo.
Heyo, this is Dr. Zoldra. Wait. Imagine like 10 years from now, this podcast is still going on. Just a couple. Well, y'all won't be 40s yet, but I'll be in my 40s. Just a couple people.
That'd be 40s really funny.
Doing anime podcast. And I would.
Hey, man, there are folks that follow our account that do that have that. Listen, so, like they're significantly older than us.
Yeah,
and you know what? So. Because anime has no age. You know, it's forever. And
that's an interesting topic for today.
Yes, it yes. is, isn't it?
So, what's good, everyone? Welcome back to the Nostalgia for Soldier podcast. My name is Taylor, aka Nostalgia. Joining me is As Told by Zoe. What's good, brother?
Hello.
Was that a blunderbuss you got over there?
I don't know. I think my grandpa got me this at like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Aww.
Yeah, oh, that's nice.
Are you going to take it on the trip?
Would Disney allow me to put this on my hip?
It's got a little cappity cap.
We'll see.
That's a piece of wood.
We'll see. It is just a piece of wood.
I feel like it's a piece of wood.
Because, I mean, at conventions, you know, you like can you make a distinction like, hey, this is a prop, and they'll let you.
Conventions aren't Disney, but we'll see. Yeah.
Still, though. Also joining me is Kalex Everything. How are you doing today? How are you feeling after crashing out pre-recording?
Yeah, I can just give a pinch of that. So basically, you know, I work on computers all day, so I don't really touch my home computer unless I'm legitimately playing Putt-Putt Enters the Race. Like, it's very simple. I don't stream yet because sometimes I just need little cartoon game time for myself, and that's not very often because I am typically out doing things. But this computer used to be my brother's, and sometimes it's very finicky on me. But you know what? It was free, so I don't care. And we just used the computer yesterday to record our podcast, and today is day two in a row because we'll be out for Disney World. So I was like, oh, it's going to be fine because I just used it yesterday. I had to restart the computer three times because I kept getting this black screen of death, and I was like, well, this can't be, because I had already used it yesterday. So I kept re-logging in, and I was like, I don't understand what's going on. So I called my brother, because he had already, like, heard me crashing out, kind of, and he's like, hello? And I was like, Samuel, come help me with the computer. And he comes in, and he's like, okay, well, you know, escape and log in again. Okay, I had to do that. And then he puts his hand over the fan of the computer, which does anything. And then he just literally goes up, up, down, down. Vroom. The screen turns blue, and all of a sudden I can see everything. I would have been fine. I would have been fine and just been like, ah, it's just one of those things where, like, you know, it's an IT thing. Like, sometimes someone just has the touch. But he pushes past me. He was like, ah, you just don't have the touch. And I almost took my me watering can and he would have been dead. And he would have been dead if held by me own hand. So that's how I started. Let me tell you, he anime MC'd me so hard that I had one of his flashbacks. That's what happened. I saw his swing is what happened. And, it got me heated after just, like, I've already been in this chair all day. Like, but you know what? Actually, no, I didn't. A fun short fact. I've been going to the gym, and I've been lifting weights, and I went up on the thing where you put the barbell on your back. I went up in weight for that.
Your squat? Yeah.
For my squat and my hip thrust and my superset for the other machine. So you know what? No one can touch me because I'm strong as hell. Nice. How about that? I'll beat Sam up. How about that? He don't know.
So today we got another installment of our spooky season series for the month of October. Today is a little bit of an interesting one, and interesting topic we got today is talking about the 1985 version of Vampire Hunter D.
Yes.
So much
initial thoughts off the bat. I texted Zoe as soon as I got about, I think I had 15 minutes left in the movie. And I texted Zoe and I was just like, hey man, we probably should have watched the 2000s version, because not to say this one was bad, I just thought it was going to be better than what I originally got.
Didn't think it was that good, but I've been told that the 2000s is a sequel. I feel like we should have watched this one anyway.
Yeah.
It's good that we saw it, I feel.
Yes.
It's good for the culture. I thought this one had the grayish vampire who's obsessed with his wife. But no, I was wrong. This is something else.
I think that's the 2000s one.
And did it hurt me a little because I wanted a vampire who was obsessed with his wife? Yes. But did I watch this entire thing on 2X and made it just a very fun time for me? Yes. Like, what's his name? It's the gray-haired man with like a little red flick in the front.
Ray.
Oh my god. I implore all of you to watch it on 2X just for his screams. Because his screams are some of the funniest things. Like, you know the old Speed Racer where he goes, and it sounds like that. And he was having a great time. So, the movie's bad.
Here's the thing, right? I'll start this time with my own initial thoughts before I go to y'all too.
Yeah.
I don't think the movie was bad. I do think that, like, when you're watching a movie that is from 1985, you have to temper your expectations on what qualifies as a good movie. And not all the time for animated movies.
And we don't know one.
Roger Rabbit came out in the 80s, and that's a fucking perfect movie.
What was their budget, though?
It's Disney budget.
That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
This movie didn't have a big budget. Like, it didn't.
Do you know I was the looking budget?
I know, like, the budget it had for, like...
Computer?
To get over to the West, like, to America, was not great. Okay. So,
what is it? Thing,
while Kayla's set up, I think I did a lot of research on the movie after the fact, and I kind of found out a bunch of stuff about it, and the quality of the movie itself, right, is not great. But I think for the budget they had and for who they had in terms of, like, a staff, I think it accomplished what it set out to accomplish in terms of, like, bringing this story to life.
Okay, so just so that we know, the one from 1985, it's not available. Like, it's a budget figure for the original 1985 OVA is not specified. So it who knows, but the 2000 version was, $151,080.
Wow, not even a million.
Yeah, it's not even a million.
The OG's an OVA. I thought it was a movie. Like, a theatrical release movie.
I think it's considered an OVA.
That kind of puts more things into perspective.
I'm trying to read the wiki. It's funny because they say OVA, but then they also still mention it as a film.
I mean, it's still technically a movie.
Yeah, it's just a movie. OVA, I think, means it's like straight to VHS.
Right.
Yeah.
If I'm correct. But even so, I just feel like the story and the writing's not all that great.
Yeah.
What really got me...
No, go ahead.
Because, and this was what Kayla was saying, like, vampires are supposed to be known as romantic. Horny, but romantic.
Yeah.
And this movie doesn't feel either. It feels like 15-year-old boy wrote it.
Yeah.
Where, like, the girl is like, I need help, and you can do whatever you want with me after. What the fuck?
Let me tell you something. The opening of her just being like, I'm going to attack you. You're a hunter. I'll pay you in food and my body. It's like, okay, you don't know this man. Also, you're probably 15, and that man's probably over hundreds and hundreds of years old, which I know is always the problem with vampire romance. But at least
and
typically,
Japanese culture, but we're not going to get into that.
But at least in vampire shows, they're they're close in age of the age that they died. Yeah. So even though they've lived longer, the body's the same.
Yeah.
I don't know. From the jump, I was like, this is going to be one of those movies that I just get so upset at the writers for the way that they write the girl. And it was, because 2 minutes in, her outfit,
her ass is not out.
It's not even a full skirt. And she's the prettiest of the village.
You're a hunter?
Because her butt's out and everybody else has their full skirt.
You're a hunter, but your ass and your titties are out?
No, every 2 seconds. First of all, she has magic powers. I'm so sorry. I'm getting on a rant.
We're getting into it.
Go ahead.
We're already getting into it because the thing where, like, her shirt always rips. And then 2 seconds, she holds it up. And then the shirt is fixed. And I'm like, your neon red nipple got out for 2 seconds. All right, you've gotten your rating, and now we're back.
Yeah.
You were so cool the way you used your whip against the pretty boy. You had the stuff. I know you can do it. Why is your nipple always out? Why is your butt always out? I understand the vampire damn fear man is tall and big and long brown hair. I get it. What are you doing? Take care of your little brother.
Those
little parts
piss me off, where it's like, okay, they're going to show her in the bathroom. That's fine. She's taking a shower. You can have an establishing shot. You want to make it for adults. Show a little bit of boob, show a little bit of butt. That's fine. It's the parts where it's like the doctor's taking her chain and somehow got her shirt and now her boob is out.
Yes.
You didn't need that.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, but also in that same breath, in that line, for some reason, he has to say, I used to see her as a daughter.
Uh-huh.
But now, I can't understand why I didn't have sex with her. What are we talking about? What are we saying? Why did you have to put that line in there?
Agreed.
Yes. I agree. These are all valid points. I think now, producer Taylor's coming out, now is a good time to transition into the culture of vampires and the depiction of vampires compared to this movie. Because we talk about, I know in our episode about sinners, Zoe,
yeah,
we talked about the concept of lust when it comes to vampires.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct. I think this movie, and as an aside, I'll tell you that the director of this movie, Yoshiaki Kawajiri, is also the director of Ninja Scroll and Wicked City, which are both unbelievably gory and unbelievably adult movies. They have a lot of nudity, a lot of sexual tension, a lot of lust, everything that you would think. Like, have you ever seen like that weird gif of the spider woman shooting with spider web out of her vagina? Have you ever seen that before?
Yes.
No.
Kayla's
it's Kayla's a very
no, I have not.
Honestly,
that is from Wicked City.
In the corners
I've
of the
never
internet
seen those movies, so
in the corners of the internet that you're on, I'm surprised you haven't.
Well, yeah. I've seen a lady get tattoos of spiders coming out of her coochie, but I've never seen...
That's insane.
No. Actually, Nightmare Fuel. Can you imagine? I literally, when I saw that photo, because obviously they blur some things, but it's like what would be like a happy trail is just spiders.
That's
and
nuts.
I'm like, that's got to be the most insane experience, especially like half in the dark. All of a sudden you're like,
hello? Yeah, no.
I literally just spider. Hit it. Sorry. Anyway. Yeah,
yes,
no, that's horrible.
Yeah, so basically this guy specifically, this director, is very much like, I'm going to make very adult films and direct them like very adult films. But like...
But there's a way to do that.
There's a way to do it, but like that's just kind of how he directs his film. So
yeah.
Ninja Scroll has a lot of like, it's a lot of, Ninja Scroll is very gory and has a lot of like nudity attached to it as well. Wicked City is insane. And so with the director, it kind of makes sense as to why these things happen in it. Circling back to the vampire aspect of it, right? Like this one is like, and Zoe, you mentioned it with, like how there's no real romance kind of involved in it. But we talk about how vampires themselves, like a concept of them is lust and going after like stuff like that in a more sexual manner or in a romance manner, whatever. This one is like, This one treats vampires more just like very, I don't even know how to say it, like very overly sexual, or just like the base of the vampire's like concept of lust in this one is just sex and that's it.
But it's also very surface because we don't even get to really tap into, don't even get to tap into that lust very much. We get to see it, not even see it. We experience like people desiring the main girl because her blood is the best and she's the prettiest of the village. But that's it. Everything else that happens to her is just a result of that one thing. Mm-hmm. Most vampires would have dove into talking about her and the obsession with her. Like, I imagine the guy, the vampire king, who just reminded me of Emperor Palpatine.
Count Lee.
Yeah, I just imagined that he would have gone into it more, and maybe that would have helped. No, and but then besides the one scene of the guy looking at her when she got out of the shower, of like looking at like her back.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. I think, so I guess the writer of these, because you know, Vampire Hunter D started as a book series.
Yeah.
Yeah, with
and
a
so
manga.
This, no, it's like a, no, like a legit novel
book
series.
Oh,
like a
book. Okay,
and
fine.
They turned it, I think they recently turned it into a manga adaptation after the movie came out.
Okay.
But basically, like, try to make this into a larger point. The writer of this book didn't really like get into a deeper explanation of like the world, who D is as a vampire hunter, as a dampier, like all the stuff that he's got going on, like the world at all, until like subsequent books after. So this first book is just like kind of laying out concepts.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that the movie Vampire Hunter D is the first book of the series.
Okay.
So there's not much really explained to you. I'm not gonna like say that's an excuse as to why the movie's not great, but that's just kind of like how it is. But I will say the Count Lee and how he is depicted and what he talks about in his very limited screen time is like, I think with other vampires that we've seen in media, right? Yeah. Like there is like a depiction, like a longing and talking about
yearning,
the object of their desire. Correct.
Yeah.
With somebody that is presumably as old as Count Lee, because Count Lee is like within the range of like 10,000 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think, and he says it himself. He's just like, bro, I'm bored.
Right.
It's not even a situation where like, I see this person and I want them so badly. It's just like, I want this person, I'm gonna have them, and then in maybe like 50 years I'll get tired of them, I'll find somebody else. Like, I think that's just kind of how it shakes out. I think that that's what they were going for with this depiction of vampires, where they're not really like yearners for real. They're just like, they just control.
Not to be the friend that's too woke here, it only applies to the men.
Yeah.
And that just comes off as weird and creepy because his daughter's not horny.
They try to make her horny in the scene where the light shines upon her and she's doing the whole
that's
a male gaze thing though. That was
100%
exactly.
That's a male gaze thing, 100%. The only girls, the girls in the group that get it are the Medusa sisters, where they're sucking up D's energy
and
they're like, oh, he's too much for us. And I was like, okay.
Again, kind of male gazy, where it's like, look,
their faces,
I'm a big guy and these three girls can't handle me. Like,
right, yes. But at least they were having a good time. I was like, well, for the girls, a little something. But what I was going to say, I think Andre froze. Okay, he's back. I think what's really fun is that the other day we were talking about Mononoke and how we don't know a lot about him, but that helps move the story along. Like, that's okay for him to be kind of a mystery because he's out there solving mysteries. I know nothing of D. And it doesn't help me, and it doesn't help the story. I want to know more about his hand. Why does he eat things? Does that help him somehow? I kept thinking about like Inuyasha's like sidekick Moroku, who can like the wind tunnel and can like suck everything up, but that actually hurts him the more he uses it. So I'm like, is this the same? Why is
he sucks things up. He sucks the air up that one time.
He does suck the air up, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, what's going on there? Also, yeah, we don't know a lot about D, but then we kind of do at the end.
Because it's kind of revealed that he's
D blood mix Dracula.
Of Dracula. Of Dracula, right,
D Dracula?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Dracula.
When they first show Dracula's picture and his face covered, I go,
yeah. I knew immediately.
Yeah. This is Grandpapa, and he's from the same bloodline. Also, the daughter of Lee.
Yeah.
Not that she was saying crazy lines, but I'm like, you know, these are really. This is sounding pretty racially charged. I feel about the bloodline, and let me tell you something. I consume a lot of vampire media. Okay, a lot of book, a lot of movie, a lot of show. Vampires, yes, there are very few of like the very 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 old vampires. They have a royalty bloodline thing. But most vampires are just all into making more vampires to complete their horde. Like, just to be more and be more on top of each other. And just, like, it's just this thing. So I'm like, oh, what a twist. I rarely ever see the, like, we must keep the bloodline pure vampires. Like, that's not really, it's not hot. You know,
like the white supremacist vampire.
It's literally, I never see white supremacist vampires. I really only am seeing the all-inclusive liberal vampires.
Hey, yo.
Blue-haired, piercing, but not silver. Oh, no, they can have silver. It's werewolves that can't have silver. But you know what I mean.
That's funny. I mean, I think I think like the first book. What is the author? Can somebody look up the author while I explain this?
Google, show me
the book.
What is it?
Google, show me this guy's balls.
Okay, so it's Vampire D Hunter. No. book.
Yeah, novel author.
Novel author. Okay, hold on.
But whoever, whenever we kind of finds this, essentially, it kind of leads into the point about the concept of. This story, I guess, for the movie. Did you see it?
I just want to say this right.
Okay.
The author's name is Hideyuki Kikuchi. He's famous for Demon City, Shinjuku, and Wicked City.
So he wrote Wicked City. Oh, so it's the same director, same author.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, he's the author of the novel series. Yeah.
Okay. So I think when I like earlier, I talked about like the fact that he introduced like the concepts of the world, how it's like 10,000 years in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The idea of like having a lot of Lovecraftian and dark fantasy elements into this story and stuff. And so like nothing is really like fully explained or really fleshed out in the first book. And I think that like it doesn't help that the movie also holds true to that, because apparently I was looking up some stuff for this movie and like it was supposed to be a situation where almost every book had a movie attached to it, but the production studio that had the movie and like the budget didn't have much of a budget, and so it didn't do well in Japan, but it did really well in America for some reason.
Because we must have just been thirsty for vampire novels or something, like, or vampire movies. That's all I can think of.
That's insane, because watching this, like, every time something I didn't like happened, because there are some parts of this where I think are, like, done well, but, like, when her boobs keep falling out, I was like, this is why anime had such a negative reception when I was a kid.
Thinking that, yes, like
I was like, that's why people thought anime was weird.
Yes, it was all of our parents going, the people that watched that were only watching porn, and it's like, no, I swear, a lot of it has plot. Yeah. It's also just so funny because, like, so when Sailor Moon first got brought over, they had to censor out, like, they had to get rid of her boobs, obviously the shading of the boobs, so it was just very Barbie-esque, right? Like, nothing. But I get why, because you can't even, like, you know, like, when you see a boob, like, in a movie or TV or whatever, obviously you recognize boob, but you see it for 2 seconds and it moves over.
Yeah.
Why are they giving this girl, I'm telling you, neon red nipples?
They are bright.
You can see her. Bright. You can see those headlights from anywhere. And also, they're the size, what's smaller than a penny? It's a bead, a pea. I'm like, those are the sharpest diamond cutting red laser nipples
male
I've
gaze.
Ever seen. I know male gaze, but it's crazy. Like, I forget sometimes, like, I wipe away what men think, and I deconstruct, and I think everyone's normal and thinks like me. And then I'm beaten down and go, oh, men think we have little nipples and no hair. And it's crazy.
No, it is.
It's nuts.
It's nuts. And that we should all look like 15-year-old girls because how old was she?
I don't know.
I don't think they really specify.
Yeah, because she's too young, I'll tell you that.
They don't have parents. It's just her and her brother.
Is her and her brother. They do mention the father is dead because he was a werewolf hunter.
Yes.
Which is another thing that they bring up as a concept of, like, different animal type of hunters, but don't really expand on, which I would assume would be a situation where they expand on those things in later books. But because this movie probably didn't do well in Japan, it did the other books didn't get finished, or other books didn't get movie adaptations. Looking up her age.
I am looking up her age. I just had to find Doris Lang.
Speaking of the werewolf, though,
she's around 17 years old. It says,
oh, Jesus Christ,
which is
still
I'm
bad.
15, but I look 17, passing for 18. That's what that means to me. Oh,
but what I was gonna say.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the werewolf. This is one thing that I found interesting. The vibes are like it's very much like a Halloween time movie, which I've been in the mood for recently. Mm-hmm. And I like the whole, like, crosses and garlic hurt us, but they don't hurt werewolves. So we're going to have werewolves as a part of our squad to get rid of those for us.
Yeah.
Like, every time you see a werewolf, it's like destroying a cross or something. I found that interesting. I was like, huh, I've never really thought of that.
Yeah, it's interesting how they kind of pull that together. I will say, like, regardless of the really unnecessary, like, butt shot and the weird, like, top-down, like, necklace-pulling shot from the werewolf in the first scene, that opening scene is actually pretty good to me.
It's gripping. It's like, like,
I think it definitely is a hook. And, like, it gives you literally nothing in terms of the world building at all when it starts, like, oh, these words, this text on screen that just goes, this is the distant future and mutants and demons are together or slither around this world or whatever. And it opens up on, and obviously later you find out that this is like a flashback from 50 years ago, right?
Right.
And it's like this woman hunting monsters and her horse gets attacked, then she encounters a werewolf, and then the werewolf runs away, and then she encounters, like, the main big bad vampire of the movie, and then it cuts to the title screen and it goes into showing Vampire Hunter D.
Right. Did I miss when that was supposed to be 50 years ago?
They basically, there's a conversation between Count Lee and Lamica, the daughter. And he mentioned something
about. Says, yeah.
He mentioned something about 50 years ago, and then Lamica replies about nobility and how she's and how putting Doris into the bloodline would ruin the bloodline, and that's when the revelation comes in that the blue-haired girl at the beginning of the movie is Lamica's mom.
Ah.
For some reason, I thought
also
that was
Lamica
Doris.
willing to die with her father.
Oh yeah.
Instead of somebody into the bloodline.
Hey, man.
Perish.
I did find that twist to be interesting. I was like, okay, she's been like, and I wish they just needed an extra little 15 minutes on that movie just to kind of make things a little bit more polished. Like,
yeah,
Lamica's character arc from being a white supremacist vampire.
Right.
Who's so adamant about her bloodline to then finding out she's actually a Dampier.
Right.
And then having the full character arc of like, oh, it doesn't really matter because the sacred ancestor was okay with every, with like,
yeah,
with, not even still, was okay with it, was like, was more accepting of humans than most.
But still chomping at the, like, at her own words, because then she goes, well, no, because I'm still noble blood anyway, so it doesn't matter. Like, I'm not.
I didn't like how that
she
character
denies
didn't make
it.
Any sense.
Exactly. She jumps back and forth of like, oh, well, as long as the sacred vampire, like, everything's hunky-dory, but then she's like, but nah, I'm not like you, though. No.
Like, how do you go from exception? How do you, like, the stages of grief, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you go from
fast
denial to acceptance and then back to denial? That makes no sense.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not ready yet.
That doesn't make any sense. But, okay. I will say, I guess as far as the impact of this movie. Interestingly enough, okay, this movie definitely opened the door for more adult and vulgar movies to be put out in the U.S. I want to say in Japan, in the U.S. Someone's got to do it. And this could be a hot take, but I think that the gore and the nudity, whatever, in this movie being widely accepted in America had a domino effect that leads to something like Castlevania being accepted, because that show is very gory.
Okay, I've never seen Castlevania. However, is Castlevania the one where one of the main vampires always has his two fingernails short and the rest of them are long? Is that the one?
I don't know.
I'm gonna find it. But everyone always goes, that's a man who loves his wife. I'm gonna find that show and I'm gonna watch it, and I know it's vampires.
It could be.
Is there one that loves his wife who's alive?
I mean,
I don't know if he's still alive. He was lying down and he has two short fingers and the rest of them are long.
It's probably sharp. Dracula. Honestly, Dracula and Alucard are the only people that actually fall in love that are vampires in that show.
But Dracula's
I have to watch that
wife.
Show.
That's kind of the point of the show.
Yeah, but hear me out real quick though. Because I think, because basically what I mean is like, yes, like the vampire, like this movie is not great. Vampire Hunter D is not great, but I think that like, for some reason the world building and sci-fi elements coupled with like the gore and how it's not like gore for the sake of gore, it's just like it happens.
Sure.
Like the guy gets his head cut off and you see it, right?
But it had good gore. Like
it had good gore. I mean, the vulgarity of it with the naked stuff, we can debate on whether that's good or not. It just kind of, if you're in your head,
it could
it could have been done better, but in my head, like, if you're going to introduce gore, you obviously are also going to have nudity in a story. It's just kind of, for some reason, those go hand in hand for me. With something like that being widely accepted in the American audience, I think for some like Castlevania to show up, I think it kind of opened the door for that kind of show to pop in, because Castlevania's gore and nudity in some scenes are exponentially better than Vampire Hunter D, and people are okay with that.
Well, it didn't even open the door for shows that have nudity and gore. I think it would just open up the door for adult animation in general. That wasn't the Flintstones being like, we're a family from the past, and the Jetsons being like, we're a family from the future.
Right.
It's like, that probably led into some people being fans of like City Hunter, which City Hunter, it's not gory and it's not overtly sexual, but it's more of an adult like detective anime. And that probably sent it over to like America, you know?
It's always the conversation that over here, for some reason in America, people see animation not as a medium, but as, what's the word I'm looking for?
A genre for kids.
As a genre for, thank you so much. As a genre for kids. And what they forget is that it is a medium to carry whatever story you want, mm-hmm. because then you're not paying actors. You are creating this world all on your own, blah, blah, blah. And we still need help doing that. Like, animation is still trying to do that and say, like, we're not just supposed to be up against Disney. We're not just supposed to be for little kids. We can give you a compelling story that you're going to care about with characters that are not real. Because the movies you watch are already characters that are not real.
Correct.
So what's holding you
but I can see
from not liking animation?
I can see why.
And so adults needed that.
Yes, I can see why an adult watches this anime and go like, boob and blood? This is for me!
You know, I always think about how it's so important that I'm so happy that you guys invited me on this podcast because and not that you guys are like boob gore, this is my, you know, you guys aren't like that, but I think it's important to have like a female perspective.
I agree
on oh, these sure. because I, not that I think that this conversation would have gone any differently, but it definitely would have started off not with like yelling about how much I detest when this happens and how women are only viewed through this one specific lens.
We would have gotten there eventually.
We would have gotten there. Yeah. That's my biggest. Now I sound right. like, ladies, I'm good. Right. No.
Performative male. Yeah.
Performative male.
Genuinely.
Give him a matcha.
Genuinely, that is my biggest problem with this movie.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's like a 15-year-old boy wrote it.
Yes, I.
Yeah, the matcha is like slowly bubbling up and just.
I hate matcha.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That sounded like, what is that cartoon? He's like, Aida, I hate that girl. Like, what is it? It's an Australian accent.
That's the creator of Smiling Friends.
That's
his
the one.
His other show. It's like, I hate that fucking bitch. I hate Aida. Aida.
That's what it sounded like. But yes, I. Oh, train of thought. It was here.
Sorry,
I derailed it.
I'm so sorry.
Oh,
I derailed it.
No.
I derailed
the stupid station. where I was going. I'm going to listen back to this and go like, you fool. You had this cool thing to say. And
oh, man.
It's all right.
We were talking about
it's all
so, female perspective.
Female perspective on this podcast.
Yeah. So, you know, there are... Anime in particular, we know that we're always stuck with, like, you know, when you watch anime in your living room and that's like the one moment your parents walk by and it's like sex, and it's like, I swear there was so much story before we got here. But I feel like anime in general is always trying to be like, look, you could like this type of story and then you could watch this and it would be good for you to see, like, just support artists that enjoy doing these things. But then you have like the one side of the spectrum that's Food Wars, for example, which is just titty city and maybe like one story, teeny tiny story.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have things like Attack on Titan, where there's like, there's no nudity. There's no sexuality. That takes the back burner to everything. And we're like, we're going to give you a story about genocide.
Yeah.
And what do you think about that? And what do you think about that? And so... I'm not even mad at this movie for feeling like it's been written by a 15-year-old boy because mm-hmm. because of the way that the females are portrayed. I just think the movie's bad because the writing, even for the men, is just not good.
Yeah. Yes.
They're all so one-dimensional. But the art's cool. So
yes, Zoe, if you want to get really into the art, go ahead. I was gonna bring that up eventually.
I was going to say, like, we're not sitting here being like, cancel this problematic movie.
No.
It's just not written that well. That's basically what we're trying to get at.
For sure. Yeah.
But hey, you know why the art's cool? Because the covers of the books, the poster of this movie, and some of the character designs were made by Final Fantasy artist Yoshitaka Amano.
The one who made the clown? That
Correct.
You showed me?
Kefka.
And that's why it's so beautiful. And you know what? Exactly.
That's why the poster of this movie. That's why the poster of this movie looks the way. Like, immediately as I saw the poster, I go, oh, that's my boy. That's Yoshitaka Amuro.
Gorgeous.
And yes. I could also tell the design of D with like the his silhouette with the pointies. It's very Kefka. It's very Vincent Valentine from Final Fantasy VII, which is another character that you would love, Kayla.
I'm sure I would.
That's
his name is great.
That's the Matt Mercer vampire, sad boy loves girl.
Oh, that's my favorite.
So yes, Yoshi,
my favorite man.
Yoshitaka Amano is a great part of this movie, which is what makes people like D look so appealing. But then I guess Doris is supposed to be appealing. It's just a kind of annoying.
Doris just has a very 80s anime girl look. Yes. To her. Like there's not much.
Yeah.
Like there's an archetype for 80s anime women, and she fits that archetype to a T. Mm-hmm. Like,
I don't know how.
Big eyes.
Yeah.
Big eyes and like the small mouth and like the baby bangs, and then you have like the like mostly legs and hips, not much torso.
Hip? Where did you see hip on that girl? That's legs.
But you know what I mean. Just legs.
A little bit of butt. Yeah. It's all, you know what's so funny is that, so I used to have a lot of art books as a kid from like Barbie. I loved Barbie everything as a child. 80s main girl characters all look like Barbie's younger sister, Kelly, I believe is her name. They all have this like round cherub face, big eyes, baby bangs, and 9 times out of 10, they are blonde with blue eyes, which is hilarious to me considering that there are not that many blonde hair, blue eyed people in Japan.
Yeah.
So what was this obsession with like the aesthetic of like American blonde hair, blue eyed people? I'm sure it's because of the models at the time and blah, blah, blah.
There is a art, weird
fashion's our world, but
there's a weird era after World War II where Japan wanted to be kind of like America, which is why I don't know how this connects, but I did read this somewhere, which is why their porn was censored. This little image was funny because you both turned your heads opposite.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, I read that somewhere. They just wanted to be like America.
Interesting.
So that's why. That's why Shinjuku Square kind of looks like Times Square. And then that leads into all the anime girls. I bet that leads into all the anime girls being blonde with blue eyes.
Very Americanized.
Or just a very American looking. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then how they've drawn black characters.
Yep. Yeah. No,
I can talk about that for days. Yep. We go for hours. Some of these character designs, like you can draw a European Yakubian man, but you can't fucking draw somebody looks like me without drawing fucking huge ass lips and a big nose.
Something up.
Go ahead.
Because it's crazy that we're on this subject, but I only recently discovered it, and I do eventually want to dive into this when we have a Sanrio episode.
Oh,
but most recently, a character that I had never, ever seen before showed up on my TikTok, and I went, who made that? Where is that from? Sanrio made a little black girl who they tried to later masquerade as a black sea urchin.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on.
Because she has just little, like, she's all black. She is one color. And she just has red big lips. And she has siblings, but you never see them. You randomly will. But they were like, this is just this character. And I forgot the name. I'm telling you, we'll have a Sanrio episode and I'll bring it up. Because when I saw it.
Oh, my fucking God.
When I tell you, my flabbers were gasted.
Are you looking it up?
They've tried to bury her.
Sambo and Hannah.
That's the name.
Way.
Kayla,
are you kidding me?
I'm telling Sambo? You, it was. People were like, "Oh my god, Pom Pom Purin! Oh my god, Cinnamon Roll, Sambo!" And I went, "Who's that? Who's that?" And they're like, "Oh, she's a sea urchin. She's a sea urchin." I said, "No, she's not.
No, she's not.
No, she's not.
She looks exactly like I forgot what they're called, but like the old, like the really old 1940 or 1920s dolls.
Yep. Yes. It's Taylor. It's
Sambo. That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Sambo, my gosh.
Like, I don't know if they're called Sambo dolls, but that's the style that they're in.
Yep.
That's like, the, that was, the, oh, yep. Jesus Christ.
No, the way, and then the discourse of people being like, but that's my favorite character. She's a sea urchin. And I was like,
oh, God. You, nah.
They actually have, they, I don't, what? You know how like
you have like no words for it either.
I saw it and I tell you, I watched that TikTok I think like 5 times in a row, and I was just reading people's comments, and people were like, you should leave it alone because, you know, it was created and it was beautiful and da da da, and they've rebranded her as a sea urchin. I'm like, why is she holding a little doll? Why does she have that little dress? It's very specific. Why do her lips look like that? Why can't they change her? Why can't they make like, okay, she has a bunch of bows on her little spikes. I'm like, change her hair, change her look, change the whole thing.
Change the whole thing. Throw it out and get a new one. Yeah.
Get a new one.
I had to look up my favorite guy to be.
Yeah, I love Han Gu-dong. I don't even know how I say that right, but that's how I say his name. And I always say that tone.
Okay, back to the ranch.
Yeah, I don't know how we got there.
I don't know how we got there either, but it is what it is. We're talking about character designs, but styles. Yeah, character designs. Like mm-hmm. But yeah, I do. I mean, speaking on D as a character, like I love his design, very cool. And like, obviously, my thing is, whenever there's a main character of anything vampire related, it probably isn't true for like most stories, but for a good amount that I've seen at least, they're going to be related to Dracula. Like, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just think it's like him. Like, I immediately, off the bat, like, I was like, oh, he's probably, when they said, oh, you're a dampier, I was like, oh, he's half Dracula.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other, like, half, unless they wanted to make it some sort of, like, he's also some sort of royal that was under, like, you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, he's half Dracula. There's just no other way. Even in Castlevania, like, Dracula is the main person, and Alucard his son.
Bro, he named his son Alucard,
which is just Dracula backwards.
It's just Dracula backwards. Which is, and honestly, I love Alucard. He's really fucking cool. But
yeah,
what the fuck?
And for the listeners, I know I'm bringing up Castlevania a lot, but I feel like these two stories in general have a lot of similarities to each other. Like, obviously, in the, because, I mean, let's think about it. Alucard is a dampier.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? There are vampire hunters that have existed for ages. Mm-hmm. The vampires themselves, and this is something I kind of want to talk about as we start to get towards the back end of this episode. Like, the vampires' motives in Castlevania and Vampire Hunter D are kind of similar. And so you can argue this if you want, as too. But, like, the ones in Castlevania are definitely more like, okay, humans are the equivalent of livestock, essentially. Yeah. Like, we harvest them for their blood. If we like how one of them looks, we could always turn them into one.
Yeah.
And then keep them. And then, but for the most part, our goal is to like, either herd them all together in these towns and then feast on them whenever we want to, essentially. It's kind of similar, and like again, the world building is not super fleshed out because it is the first book, but they mention like, oh, these Count Lee says something to the effect of like, oh, these humans are able to live simple lives because we took over the lands.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing between the two of them. I just think there's a lot more similarities to Castlevania and Vampire D that I think people are aware of. But obviously I argue that Castlevania is exponentially better. But like,
right.
I think
The first Castlevania game came out after the books and the movie. So
really?
Yeah.
Interesting. When was the first game?
I'm sure there's
the first
inspo game there.
1986.
So yeah, the movie came out in 85. So yeah. I mean, probably not like as far as like development time, it probably was like a little bit different, but you never know. Kayla, your screen just got super bright.
I started Googling something.
Wow.
Yeah. Did I turn pale?
Yes.
But okay. As far as like the occult folklore of vampires, Zoe, because we talked about this on the Sinners episode 2, and Kayla, you could chime in as well.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on like how the vampires were depicted as like a occultic, like folklore type of situation in this? I know we didn't get that many vampires per se, but like the ones that we did see, like as far as their stereotypical occultic folklore traits, like what did you think about for this one?
It's pretty, like you said, they rule over this village or this town where people, reside. Again, very much Castlevania. I don't think that came from like European folklore. I do think that's kind of a Japanese idea, maybe.
I think that is still European in a sense, because I was looking to see when did vampire stories get popular in America, and it was the 1980s. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense as to why they probably brought this one over, and they were like, yeah, it'll do well here.
Yeah.
But the romanticization. Thank you so much. That didn't start till closer to the 90s of vampires. So vampires were still supposed to be scary and edgy. But then there was like this kind of turning point where they're like, wait, scary and sexy go hand in hand. Let's start guiding people in that direction.
When did that start?
1990s.
But like what IP started that?
Oh,
Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula, maybe. But
oh, probably.
But that's a book
so good
from the way before 1980s.
Yes. But a lot of like, there's always that shift of like, we use these stories to teach people to like not go out at night and to listen to their parents. Like it's always that same vein. And then people take that and go, well, I'm going to basically write an AO3 about this and turn it into what I want. And it's just kind of, it's wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
What's up?
Yeah.
Do you think that Interview with a Vampire is what started it?
Oh.
Interview with a Vampire, that was a
movie
book before.
From the 90s.
But the book is before then.
Yeah.
When did the book come out?
I don't know.
I would assume 80s,
but
90s.
Interview with a Vampire.
Because if you think about like why,
bro, the movie had Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt. Women were thirsty over them.
100%.
That's why I feel like that movie coming out in the 90s is what made that shift to where vampires were considered sexy. Because
it could be.
Because like, if you look at some of the movies about vampires that came out around that time, Buffy or even shows, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Blade,
right?
Interview with a Vampire. What else? Bram Stoker's Dracula. Then there was From Dusk Till Dawn in 96.
Oh, From Dusk Till Dawn.
You have Innocent Blood.
Had Selma Hayek as a vampire.
Yes.
Come on.
That's when she's wearing the little brown bikini thing. And who's
Quentin Tarantino's freaky ass.
Tarantino.
Robert Rodriguez directed it, but Tarantino's getting like the dance from her. But also, I think it could have also kind of maybe started with Fright Night in the 80s, because that whole thing is like the main character, my mom is dating a vampire. Like,
isn't maybe, there also, there's a Disney Channel
that was in the
movie. 2000s. Yeah, that was in the 2000s.
Mom's
but yeah,
date
like,
with a vampire.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah. So I feel like that's probably where the shift maybe could have happened with Interview with a Vampire. And even there's a remake of it that's recent, is there not?
Yes, one of the best shows of all time.
Kayla loves that show.
And I, that we should have a whole episode on that. I know it's not anime. I know it's not. And I know it'd be really hard to try to tie it in, but Sinners wasn't. So let's just have a vampire series and we'll make a little playlist of all of us talking about different vampire things, because that show, my friend Jessica, she's not a big TV person. And she was like, oh, I'm not going to get into that, Kayla. And I was like, gay vampires. Just sit down and watch this right now. That show is so insanely good for so many reasons. I've never seen the movie. I never saw Brad Pitt and whomever else have this yearn off.
It's the the two like actors that people think are hot that you don't. It's Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt.
See, and that wouldn't work on me. However, latest Interview with a Vampire, both. It's so good. And the new series, the new season is either already out or coming out very, very soon. And it's like rock star 80s. They've traveled to the, like, it's
That's fun.
So like, yeah, the main blonde character, oh, I'm forgetting his name now, he becomes like a rock star, and I love that for him. So yeah. Ooh, yeah, future episode.
Yeah, perhaps for chance.
no, not perhaps for chance. Y'all can talk about what you want to talk about. I want to talk about and I want to be gay vampires.
Antonio Banderas is also in the movie.
Well, that would get me, because Antonio Banderas
in Interview
is really
with a Vampire?
Hot.
Yeah, I don't think he's a vampire, though.
Is he the interviewer?
I don't remember. I haven't seen it in a while.
But I'm looking at some of these 90s vampire movies, and like, you could tell this is where like the sexiness of vampires kind of took off. Interview with a Vampire, obviously, you have Bram Stoker's Dracula. You have Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is a show, but different.
Still.
You have Vampire in Brooklyn with Eddie Murphy. Even though he's not, what? I wouldn't consider Eddie Murphy like sexy, he's still there. Like, it's still like the lust is still there.
He has a run of being like a ladies' man, like 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
He had his time in the sun.
Yeah. You have Wesley Snipes'
Blade.
Not for
a vampire.
Wesley Snipes' Blade. They be fucking in that movie.
Then you have, you have Children of the Night in 91. I don't know. That's more of like a gory, scary one.
Yeah.
Let's see. Sleepwalkers, Bloodlust. Dang, how many? Bro, Dust of Dawn 3 had two, three movies in the 90s.
Two dawns.
And three are not good. And I haven't seen them. I don't want to.
But then you have Embrace of a Vampire in 95, and this is just all types of horny.
That sounds like a Kayla movie.
Which one?
Embrace
of a Vampire.
That sounds lovely. You know what? I'll put it on my list.
Blood and Donuts. Have you seen that one, Zoe?
No. No, never mind. I'm thinking of...
Wait!
There's a movie... You guys have had to have seen this. It's Nick Cage frantically yelling the alphabet. Have you seen that?
No.
It's like he's in a therapist's office and he stands up and he goes, I'm not crazy. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A. And he goes through the whole thing. The point of that movie is that he thinks he's becoming a vampire. And you don't know.
I love
You kind of don't know if he is or not.
Let me tell you something about Nick Cage. I actually love him. Like, I don't know who he is as a person, and that isn't, like, I'd have to look, so maybe I'll hate him next week, but I have always liked him because he is insane. Everything he's in is insane, and I believe that he's actually not insane. He has just marketed himself in that way, and it works.
He bought his own mausoleum already.
I love that.
He's a little crazy.
He's a tad bit
okay.
Crazy.
Well, I think money makes people crazy in general. So
fair.
Yes, perhaps a pinch of insanity, but like, it's funny.
Does a pinch also include two pet snakes and a pet shark and a pet gator?
This is real.
I could be wrong about the shark, but I'm. Like 99% positive, he had the snakes and the gator.
Well, as long as he's treating them right, that's. I mean, if it were up to me, I'd own every animal on the planet.
He
so I get
beat
it.
He beat out Leo DiCaprio for the skull of a T-Rex. He bought a house in Louisiana solely because they said it was haunted.
Cool,
but he is I think a little bit more than a pinch.
Okay, but the thing is if you have all this money, and as a celebrity, they don't know how to use it,
it's
clearly,
going because... It's going to Fortnite.
It's
going to my beautiful girlfriend, and then
that's
Fortnite.
That's right. And then it's going to Fortnite. And, anyway. Yeah, celebrities don't know how to use their money, so they just buy whatever they want. So, you know...
And
could
that's
he
why
have spent the house,
Vampire the Hunter D is not that good.
Yeah, you can tell like
we're getting off track.
Because we're getting so off track. It's not even funny.
This episode is very ADHD like train. Because
we
of
don't
thought.
Like the thing we're talking about.
Right. Yeah. So we just keep leaving the station.
Producer Taylor tried. Like I really did try.
No,
I really
but you know
did
what?
Try.
I like episodes like this. It's fun. Hopefully,
yeah, it's not, it was just really funny to me. I was like, all right, how do I figure out a way to bring this back so I can talk about the movie or talk about vampires in general?
Vampire D, Nicolas Cage. What's the connection?
Yeah, because I literally was telling Zoe before we started recording, I was like, I didn't like the movie that much because of a multitude of factors. But like also too, I'm trying to figure out if we can talk about the movie and then kind of get into like our thoughts about the vampire genre at large is
we
what
did.
I was trying to allude to.
We did.
Kind of did a little bit. Yeah. Last thing I'll say on Vampire Hunter D, honestly, and it's just like the writing killed me because there's a lot of stuff that just kind of happens off screen.
Yeah.
That's why I said it needs an extra 15 minutes because there's a lot of stuff just kind of happens off screen.
Off
like there's
D
one
screen.
Like off D screen literally, and like when D gets essentially kind of killed by Ray,
yeah,
and essentially and like I think I wrote this in my notes. I can't remember exactly what I said. I was like, it was like a whole thing. It was like, so I guess she got captured and Dan escaped. They jump around so much in this movie. And then the very next tweet, they're going to text, oh, and she's hypnotized, question mark?
Yes.
She showed no reading to Dan almost dying, reaction to Dan almost dying. Either the version I'm watching skipped apart or this movie just jumps around.
I watched an official version. It did not skip around.
I said, good on the assassin for trying to foil the plans. He didn't stand a chance, though. His death was kind of fucked up. I did think
his death was cool. Like getting like shoved up against the wall and the blood making the patterns of like the pulses and then his brain explodes. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. And then I said, okay, you're going to love this part, Kayla. I said, with, in all caps, 10 minutes left.
The plot reveals itself.
The final fight happens. It's there, all caps. First encounter, mind you. The first time they talk.
Yeah.
All movie.
Yeah.
I said, do you think they don't you think they should have had a fight earlier in the movie or some sort of encounter to establish how powerful Count Lee actually is? Because I'm like, the way he just did Rey.
Yep.
And the way I saw D not win a fight the entire movie,
right.
I was like, there's no way that he's going to beat this powerful vampire.
Riding back.
And then I said in all caps, that's how it ends. And then I said, that's how she breaks out of the trance.
Yeah.
With her brother. And then the end of the movie is just them waving goodbye to him. And he does this little like,
oh my,
like this very anime, like air out your nose, like. Wow.
That's like, you know what that reminded me of? You know
what,
wow, you know
what,
what
a great hour and 20 minutes we just had.
And I'm going to ride off on my mechanical horse. And then
that reminds me of fucking, you know, like when you win story mode in those old fighting games, you get like a character's like old story after the tournament's over. That's literally what that was.
And then Paul Phoenix becomes a drunk again. What do you mean? I just won.
Like, I just hate. Okay, yeah. Just finishing off the story. I just hate how that is how the fight ends. You don't have a situation where D has a legitimate fight with him because you could obviously tell he's outmatched. We only see D go through his. I know it's so hard to like talk about it without going pause the entire time.
No. I'm thinking about it again. And it's like, yeah, he's not a good fighter. He hasn't won anything. But he ends the movie like, yeah, I did that.
Exactly.
Because here's my thing, right?
He did nothing.
Here's my thing. It'd be different if it was like a... what's Robert Pattinson Batman, where it's like in year two of him being Batman, or like it's in the early stages of D being a vampire hunter, so he's not that experienced. He loses a lot. Fine. We don't know how old he is. We don't know how long he's been doing this. So you would think he'd be a veteran. When Ray steps up and tries to fight him, I was like, oh, he's going to show off and behead him super early. The girl's going to be the main person he has to fight as like a mini boss, like a mid boss during the movie. But that doesn't happen. He gets impaled in like 2 minutes.
Right.
And I'm like,
also,
okay,
yeah,
fine.
So,
whatever.
So boring. Boring that she's like, so your dad gets defeated by a wall. D does nothing. And then she's like, I could fight you, but I'm actually going to stand right here and wait to also get crushed by a wall.
But the way in which the fight ends between Count Lee and D is so funny to me, because it's like, we only see D go through his vampire stage two times.
And for nothing.
One of them
for women
was to one of them. Yes, essentially for women. One of them was to get the little Medusa sirens off of him.
Yeah.
And then the other time when he sees Doris's neck and is about to crash out because he wants to want some human blood.
Right.
The third time we see it is right before he tries to attack Count Lee. Count Lee breaks his sword, stabs D with it, and then D just has the presence of mind, which is kind of cool, to throw the broken sword at Count Lee. But why does that kill him? When, mind you, the first two sword swings that D throws at Count Lee get blocked.
Yes.
So why now can the blade... Oh, God.
it's legit.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. Meme of what's his name? From Sailor Moon Mask.
Oh, yeah. Tuxedo Mask.
Who being like, in, my job he, here is done.
Who, you he didn't do anything. He throws a rose and he's like, huh, I knew you could do it, Sailor Moon. You did nothing. She's out there bleeding. No, Tuxedo Mask and I.
This movie.
Oh man, I just. And then I said, good on Lamica for stepping in, but her motivations don't make sense.
No.
And then Dan coming in and suddenly yelling Doris's name is kind of like, and her breaking the trance is somehow.
Oh, hold on. I wanted to talk about this. Dan was so okay with shooting a guy. He's like 8.
Yeah.
I mean, he shoots at monsters the entire movie.
Monsters, not men. You know?
Fair. Men, not mice.
It's just the point of you're 8 years old and you just blow this motherfucker shit off smooth. And he was like, my sister.
Again, watching those in 2x speed and then seeing him fall down the very
it's like Squidward falling off a cliff.
I truly, you should watch it again in 2x. I really think it's going to, I don't like, this movie would have been half a star with watching it regular. I'll give it 1 star.
So Ray getting splattered on the wall like 4 times was funny in 2x. I just feel like I got it.
No, it was like it was great. No, and you just have to hear Ray scream. It's so funny. It's truly one of the funniest things. I was giggling, kicking my feet, just like this is funny.
Oh man,
because you know there's nothing else for me to pay attention to. So
I just same time. Okay, now I really want to watch the second one. Just because what I am told is that the second one is exponentially better from an animation standpoint and an overall quality standpoint.
Emily really likes Bloodlust.
This movie, we've talked about it enough. I mean, we can't really go into more detail on it, honestly.
Let it die, let it die. No, it's not. It's really, I'm happy for what it did. If it did help bring more adults to watching animation because they realize it could be for more than just children, then great. But as a movie itself, movie kind of bad. But some people love bad movies. Like, I love certain bad movies. Me rewatching Scary Godmother every Halloween is probably one of the worst movies that has ever existed, but it's amazing. Scary
Godmother's a classic.
I love Scary Godmother. You don't understand. It's so good. But it could be someone else's Scary Godmother. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Letterboxd rating. What'd you give it?
Wum.
Okay.
Wum.
I gave it a 3 because there is merit, but a 3 without a heart.
Is that the confirmation cowbell in the back?
A heart raises things.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone dropped something. But yes, a 3 with a heart and a 3 without a heart. Letterboxd people know it's different, very different.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna go 3. I guess like out of 10, I'll give it like a 6, maybe a 5.5.
It's fine. That's a 6 out of 10.
I think it's overall influence. Y'all are nice. Yeah, I am a little too nice. It's overall influence in the West and what it and like the story is based off of. And there were some things that I did like about this movie, partially.
Yeah. But
its overall, average is a 3, so
it's pretty par for the course. Now I kind of want to see like I haven't seen Wicked City or Ninja Scroll. I kind of want to see those just to see how insane this director
is. I've heard Ninja Scroll is just over the top blood.
I need to see those two just to kind of see what the director.
You are fine with that. We're gonna watch Terrifier.
Yeah. Yay. Right.
So this episode will be coming out at this usual time, but you know we had to double up on episodes like I said last week because y'all two are going to Halloween Horror Nights.
And by the time this goes so
out,
scary.
Y'all are. By the time it goes out, y'all will be there. Correct? Or y'all be coming back?
We come back that Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, so y'all be back by the time this episode does drop, but y'all haven't gone yet.
See.
I guess next week, tell us how it goes. We might be planning something cool for the final episode for the October spooky season for the Halloween episode. Yep. So stay tuned for that. We'll see what things look like, what the plans look like, and then we can always pivot if something doesn't go well, but we'll figure something out. I also want to say before we sign off, this is episode 95, by the way.
Aww, which yay. Is
insane to think about.
Yeah,
I guess once this is over, we'll kind of figure out where we want to be in terms of what we're going to do for the 100th episode, because I still don't know. So
unfortunately, I feel like we got to put you to work, and I want like a best clips. I want us to react to our best clips.
There
you know
has
what
to be
I mean?
A super cut
episode.
I just, man, it's going to take a lot of fucking work.
Sorry.
We might have to take a couple weeks off so I could get all the clips together. It might have to be what we do. Just take a couple weeks off before we
maybe
post
we get
episode
lucky.
100.
Maybe we get lucky and episode 100 lines up with top 100 most handsome men again. Oh,
can you imagine? That'd be fun.
Be great.
I can't wait.
All right. Well, I've been Taylor, aka Nostalgia, as told by Zoe. Carolix Everything. See you guys next time. Peace.
Bye.